10. Count to 10.
You should have seen the kids walking out to go to Kingdom Kids. They're watching cartoons? That looks more fun. Let me stay. Then when I got up here, they would have bolted anyways. Great video. Self-control should be your goal. Laugh and count to 10. Interesting. Even in a cartoon for children, it realizes that kids need to learn this lesson and need to learn it as early on as possible. Need to learn self-control, and it tries to give Donald Duck this lesson, right? Which is appropriate, because of course Donald Duck, if he's known for anything, he's known for losing his temper and getting really mad. But maybe if Donald Duck can learn self-control, then there's hope for us. But then again, maybe not, as the rest of the episode progresses. And of course, the episode includes Donald Duck losing his control several times and eventually getting a shotgun to try and shoot down a woodpecker who's disturbing his nap, and ends with, "I can't stand it, I can't stand it any longer." And when the radio chimes back in with its beautiful little ditty, "Self-control should be your goal, laugh and count to 10," finally Donald Duck counts to 10. As he takes the shotgun and uses it as a hammer and smashes the radio, 1, 2, 3. But of course, we quickly realize it's not just kids who need to learn self-control, is it? Simply put, on the whole, the majority of us don't have great self-control, and we know it. A dental hygienist was cleaning a lady's teeth, trying to get off the nicotine stains. Lady shares with her and her husband are trying to quit smoking together. Dental hygienist says, "Hey, same thing. My husband and I are trying to quit smoking too." Lady in the chair asks, "How's it going?" And the woman says, "Well, the first step that we've taken is we're not allowing ourselves to smoke in the house anymore. So we have to go outside if we're going to smoke." Lady says, "Wow, that seems like a really good idea. Is it working?" Hygienist says, "Yeah, but we're getting really tired of watching TV through the patio doors." Sure. Interestingly, the University of Pennsylvania did a survey. Don't know how much you know about big national surveys. Often when surveys are done, it's maybe of 1,000 people, maybe even of 10,000 people picked from different various walks of life, different locations, etc. University of Pennsylvania did a survey a few years ago of 2 million people in America, 2 million Americans, and it had them order their strengths in 24 different skills. Right, here's a list of 24 skills, order them 1 to 24. Guess where self-control came out? Dead last. 2 million Americans order 24 things and self-control dead last. In fact, we could do a little poll here. Right? There are 9 fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Moment of honesty, how many of you would rank self-control at least in your bottom 3 of those 9? Maybe I should go ahead and put your hands up. All right, not many of you, yeah. Or just you're nodding your heads and you don't have the control to put your hands up. Go ahead and admit it. Look, I know it's the bottom 3rd for me. My track record of, sleeping through some classes and appointments and meetings certainly show my lack of self-control. Even just get up in the morning at times. Or simply set a bag of chips and a bowl of queso in front of me. Right, I know I shouldn't eat the whole bowl of queso, but that doesn't stop me until I'm about halfway through this second bowl of queso. Even worse, place a box of chocolate donuts in front of me. Right? In fact, when I was in college, my missionary friend John, who was here a couple months ago and spoke with us, we would go to Walmart and get a dozen Krispy Kremes, and they'd be gone within the hour. So self-control, not exactly a strength. But it's the beginning of February, and you don't have to look any further, actually, than New Year's resolutions to realize that self-control is greatly lacking in our culture, society. Maybe just 35 days ago, people made a bunch of great, well-intentioned, plan-to-do-em resolutions. And yet, studies show that 80% of resolutions fail by the second week of February, by this next week. Shooting for 52 weeks, and we can't get past 5 weeks. Not ideal. So this morning, we're going to talk about this much-needed Christian virtue of self-control. Appears a few times in Scripture, but the most famous appearance is, of course, as the last of the fruits of the Spirit. On this list of the fruits of the Spirit, even, it seems that self-control stands out. But if you're not there, you can turn to at least see this list of the fruits of the Spirit. Turn to the end of the book of Galatians, near the end. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22, 23 to 24. Here Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit, interestingly singular, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Interestingly, as you look at this list of nine, self-control, not only does it maybe stand out in our own lives as something we struggle with the most, but it stands out amongst this list. It stands out amongst this list in this way. It's the only one of the nine that is never attributed to God in Scripture. Never attributed to God. God is not, does not have this virtue of self-control. All the others, right? God is described as loving, as joyful, as gentle. These other eight really apply to God, but self-control is not one that's ever attributed to God. God is never described as being self-controlled. And though it may currently stand low on your own list of fruit, I don't think there's a person in here who, after a few minutes of thought, would feel comfortable with that. I don't think there are any of us who are like, yeah, I'm kind of low in self-control, and that's okay. I don't think there's a person in here who wouldn't say, yeah, I need to work on my self-control, always. Because we know what can happen to someone who fails in the area of self-control, who loses their self-control even for just a moment. I'm guessing you don't have to think very long to think of a friend, a family member, or even just someone in the news who lost self-control, couldn't practice control in the area of alcohol or drugs, and lost their families or even their life as a result. Someone who didn't practice self-control in the area of anger and as a result verbally or even physically abused someone and ruined a relationship. Someone who couldn't control their appetite, has all sorts of health and life issues now because of the lack of self-control in the area of eating or exercise. Or someone who has no control when it comes to spending money as a result is in debt. Financial stresses have ruined their marriage. Or someone who didn't cultivate self-control in the sexual realm of their lives and lost their families or their ministries as a result of an affair. But these are the extremes, of course. And while these hit home for some of you, there may be others who feel like, you know, that's not an issue. I'm not going to hit any of the biggies. But if you're honest, for you, maybe the area you fail in self-control is simply in spending an excessive amount of time on, say, TV or video games or on blogs or Pinterest. And constantly being on your phone to the point where you neglect some friends or children or family or neglect your calling to serve the Lord. Perhaps you fail in self-control in the emotional categories, right? Whether it's jealousy or envy or anger. And this lack of self-control is poisoning your relationships with other people. We could all use a little more self-control. It's easy to see the many areas where we fail in self-control. As a result, I know that often in the past, when self-control has come up as a topic, I've sometimes felt an amazing amount of guilt or shame because of some area of my life where I lack self-control. And if that's you right now, then let me remind you of the beauty of the cross. Let me remind you that the cross always promises forgiveness. The good news of the gospel is that you can be forgiven and set free, right? A couple of the songs that we just sung about talk about freedom. And if you lack self-control, then it's amazing just how enslaved you are to whatever area it is where you lack self-control, and yet the cross promises freedom, it promises forgiveness, it promises no guilt and shame. And the cross that gives us the Spirit who can grow inside of us the fruit of self-control is our only hope. And that rather than focusing on the shame and the guilt, consider the beautiful freedom that developing self-control can bring. Consider the relief that will come with a clear conscience due to walking in the Spirit and developing self-control. This is the hope that I hope you see as we talk about self-control. So here, I'm going to give you five thoughts on self-control. Number one is just what is self-control. Number two, what's the problem with our self-control? Three and four are the solutions to self-control. And then number five, how we do it. Number one, what are we even talking about when we use this word self-control? Self-control explained, self-control defined. Right? What are we talking about? Let's define our terms. There are two Greek words in Scripture that are used to describe self-control. First one is this word sophrosune, whose meaning is something more like self-controlled in the area of having good judgment, being sensible or prudent. Self-control in this area. It's used in 1 Timothy 2 when Paul's talking about how women should dress. And he says you should dress with modesty and self-control. The idea is sort of being prudent, controlled in your thinking about how to dress. This is not the word that's used here in the fruit of the Spirit. Word in the fruit of the Spirit here used in Galatians 5:23 is this word ekkretia. Ekkretia, and this is probably more commonly what we think of when we think self-control. The root of ekkretia is this. It means to restrain one's emotions, impulses, or desires. Having a restraint of emotions, impulses, or desires, you can see then how self-control can be in the sphere of emotions. You've been around someone who just has no control over their emotions, right? It's just a huge roller coaster being around them constantly. Those emotions, things, feelings like jealousy and envy that are sort of more emotional at their core. Or what about impulses or desires, right? That impulse to just eat another chip and another chip and another chip. And we were at a Mexican restaurant last night, and it's just, you know, they just keep bringing them, and they're just always there. And even if you're not hungry, it's just impulsive, right? Just can't help myself, right? Impulses, desires. Ekkretia, self-control here, this fruit of the Spirit of self-control, is being able to restrain and control those emotions, impulses, and desires that you shouldn't act on. Maybe here then, as soon as you realize that this is the definition of self-control, restraint from wrong emotions, impulses, and desires, it makes sense then why this is the fruit that's never associated with Christ or with God. Of course, God never has this wrong impulse, desire, or emotion that he has to restrain himself from. So this is what's meant when the fruit of the Spirit talks about ekkretia, about self-control. It's this Christian virtue of being, of practicing restraint in the areas of either your emotions, your impulses, or desires. This is what self-control is. So now we got to ask, what's the problem? Why don't more of us have this restraint? And let's be honest. None of us really, are we really confused about the fact that maybe eating that third basket of chips and queso is not good for our health? I mean, no. I know better. Right? Don't you know of those areas of self-control when you lack that in the end they're really not beneficial? Why wouldn't more of us have better restraint in life? What's the problem with our self-control? Problem with self-control, simply put, is self. But the problem with your self-control is self. Turn to Romans 7, a passage that many of you probably know well. A passage where Paul pretty clearly lays out that the problem with self-control is self. As you turn there, it's a great quote in history from Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt once said, "If you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit down for a month." Right? And the point here is that if you're looking for someone to blame in regards to the problems that you have with self-control, look no further than yourself. Genetics and heredity, your environment, your situation, look, these may all play some small role in what issues you face and where you may tend to fail in self-control. These are not the causes of your lack of self-control. As much as culture today wants to say, well, it's not my fault, I'm just a product of my environment, or I can't help it, I was born this way, or whatever it may be, the fact is, the problem isn't due to your environment. The problem isn't just due to what your parents struggle with or where you were born or raised. The problem at its core is inside of you. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions, and I have no self-control. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I just can't control those impulses, those desires, those emotions, even if I know they're wrong for me. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." The problem is within you. And Paul's clear. It's not something external. It's forcing you to act in that way you shouldn't act. It's not something out there. The problem with self-control isn't that, you know, the pressures around me, the peer pressure, it's just so much. I couldn't help myself. The problem with self-control is self. Because within you lives a sin nature. Paul continues in verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Look at where he ends. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this law of death, this body of death? Paul says the problem with self-control is self. The problem with self-control is that you have a sin nature inside of you. And where does Paul end here? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Meaning, I can't deliver myself. Problem with self-control is self. Paul makes it clear the cause of failures isn't something outside, it's inside. And so we ask, like Paul, who will deliver me from this body of death? Solution, point number three, right? The solution to self-control, part A, the solution to self-control is not more self. The solution to self-control is not more self, right? If the problem with self-control is the self, the solution can't be more self. It should be an obvious point that follows from the first. And yet, this is so contrary to everything the world tells us. And if you're honest with yourself and think back, this is probably contrary to your own experience in attempting to gain self-control in the past. After all, it is called self-control. The word itself suggests that I myself should be able to develop more self-control. But as we remember, the reason you have a self-control problem in the first place is because of self. The solution can't be more self. So contrary to what the world around us says, you're struggling with self-control? Well, you just need to try harder. And if you try harder, you can do it. You'll win. You'll conquer. Right? And so you get books and lists of 4 secrets to impeccable self-control. Apply your willpower, the smart way to overcome temptation. Or the 6 secrets to self-control, the 8 steps to help your child develop self-control. 10 self-control strategies. The problem with all of these is that they rely on the strength and perseverance of one's self alone to develop self-control. But we know that the self is made up of the sinful flesh and thus is incapable of helping us develop the self-control that we desire. The problem with self-control is the self. The solution can't be more self. Just try harder. Do more. Perhaps you look back on your own life and see these times, right? Think about those times when you've worked really hard on X or Y or Z to fix it in your life. And you can see times when you're really working on self-control in that area, but truth be told, you're trying really hard by yourself, right? I can do it. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can, right? Chug, chug, chug. I'll make it up the mountain eventually. Little engine that could, that's me. And maybe you read a book on strategies for keeping your temper in check. And for a few months, you're really good about counting down from 10, about thinking before speaking, about going to a peaceful place in your mind. But now you find you're right back to having the same problems. Perhaps, right, perhaps you had put filters on your computer, pursued an accountability group, but after a time, you fell back into sin as those things drifted away. Perhaps you had gotten your addiction to social media and blogs and Pinterest down to a healthy amount of time, but now you find your hours consumed by those things that will not provide lasting joy and satisfaction. And as you look back, you see that you tried to solve all your self-control issues with just more self. You tried to fix it by trying harder, by following some strategies or steps, but the truth is, solution to self-control is not more self. Because the problem with self-control in the first place is yourself. But thankfully, there is a solution. There is a solution. There is a way to develop self-control. There is a way to cultivate this fruit. Solution to self-control is spirit control. Solution to self-control is spirit control. Back in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We need to remind ourselves in the first place of what these things are. They're fruits. But they're not the fruits of the self. They're not the fruits of our effort. They're not the fruit of our hands. They're not the fruit of our making. Right? They're not the fruit that come about because we're excellent people at our core. And if you do you hard enough, then you know you're going to get there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is where these fruit come from. And there's an intentional imagery used here. Right? They're not the fruits of the good man, not the fruits of those who are just hard workers. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and it's an image with a concept behind it. Fruit appears on the branch of a tree. Why does it appear on the branch of the tree? Because the branch is connected to the trunk, which is connected to the roots, which is drawing in the nutrients, and that's how fruit appears. Now you take a branch that's bearing fruit, you cut it off, it's not going to bear any more fruit. It doesn't work. The only way it bears fruit is because it's plugged into the tree. The fruit of the Spirit are the fruit that come about because of the Spirit. So if you want these fruits of the Spirit to appear in your life, the key is the Spirit. Look back at Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Skip down to verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Paul's pretty clear in this passage where our attention and focus should be. Paul's pretty clear how any of these good things come about and the bad things go away. You have four references here. Walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit again. Now the focus of the passage is not, you know, you can become a more peaceful person if you just do enough yoga and meditation. Right, that if you try hard enough, then you'll become more joyful. You know, if you just let everything wash off your body, that's not how these fruit come about. They're fruit of the Spirit that come from walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. So the solution to self-control really is Spirit control, being led by. The language here, walking by, it's the means by which you walk, how you actually make it through your day, walking by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Look, it's not to say that we shouldn't still try, right? That suddenly we become passive and sit there and be like, all right, Spirit, make things happen. Obviously, we have to participate. We have to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. So it's not to say you shouldn't still try and it shouldn't still work, but the difference is that when we're apart from the Spirit, we have no hope at developing ekkretia because it comes from the Spirit. Never gain a lasting and complete self-control, restraint of your passions, emotions, and desires if you're not being led by the Spirit, if you're not in tune with the Spirit. And yet, when you're plugged into the Spirit, when you're being led by, walking by, living by the Spirit, then you can actually hope that these fruit will grow in your life. So first and foremost, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you haven't received the Spirit, and I hate to tell you, but you don't got a chance at some of these things. If Scripture's right here, and these are fruits that come from the Spirit, if you're looking at your life and saying, man, I really do lack some joy, I really do lack some peace, I'm an anxious and worrisome person, right? I really do lack patience, I am an impatient, angry person, and I got no self-control in my life, well, the first thing you got to look at and see is, do you even have the Spirit? Scripture says, once you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, lives within you. But until that moment, ekkretia, self-control, it's always going to be out of your grasp. Because the only law you have at work within you is the law of sin and the sinful flesh. And no matter how hard you try, it's always going to win out. So if you don't have the Spirit, you got to start there. If you're looking You know, if you're finding a lack of goodness and faithfulness and gentleness in your life, you know, this is where it comes from. All good things come from God the Father. If you've been around Christians and seen that some of them seem to have some joy and peace and patience in their lives that you maybe want a piece of, don't think it's because somehow they're just wonderful individuals, more wonderful than you are. Right? The reason that Christians have any of these things is because they come from the Spirit, not from within us. So first and foremost, you got to put your faith in Christ. Then you will receive the Spirit, and at least then the Spirit can work and move inside of your life. But if you have taken that step, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, there's still a question of, are you walking and living by the Spirit today? This is the fifth and final point, right? Develop self-control then by walking in the Spirit. You want self-control. You want desecrete. You want restraint in these areas of life that tear you apart. The problem is self. The solution can't be more self. The solution has to be not self-control, but Spirit control. And how you get that Spirit control is by walking and living in the Spirit. But you say, that seems kind of complicated. I mean, that's just kind of weird. It's like some mystic thing where you just gotta kind of always gotta be, you know, feeling it and feeling the Spirit. How do you actually walk and live by the Spirit is the question. You know, Paul uses all these terms: walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, walk by and in the Spirit. Well, what can we learn from these terms that Paul uses? What images does this give us, and how can we see it? First, when Paul gives these commands to walk by the Spirit, walk, an interesting choice of words here. It's Greek word peripateo. It can mean go, walk, live, travel. Its usual use is this idea of walking. Walking here, this present imperative in the Greek language, when you give an imperative in this way, it means to continually do something. You got to walk by the Spirit. It means walk, continually walking. Just keep walking, just keep walking. Right? If Dory were on land, that'd be her philosophy. Just keep walking, just keep walking. So continuously walking with, being led by, living by the Spirit. And you'll have the self-control you need. If you're looking for that matter, you want the rest of these fruits, you have to walk by the Spirit. Interesting here, this word, peripateo, the Greek word for walking, the students of Aristotle, right, this famous philosopher, the students of Aristotle were called peripatetics, from peripateo, because they literally walked, their habit of following the philosopher in his footsteps, walking wherever he walked, as he walked, where he walked, following him around from place to place. And Paul's vocab, to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, means to go where the Spirit is going, to listen to his voice, to discern his will, to follow his guidance. You got to do what the Spirit wants you to do. Natural question then is, how do you know what the Spirit wants you to do? Is there a voice in your ear? In your head that sends you one way or another, turn right, turn left. And it may be for some people feel the Spirit's leading that much, but if you want to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, it means first you obey his rules. You do what he said you should do. How do you know what the Spirit's told you to do? It's been laid out really clearly in Scripture. Right, this is the very Word of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You want to know what the Spirit wants you to do? It's in the book. You want to know how to develop self-control? Obey the things in this book. Number one, you got to obey what the Spirit says to do. But second, walking by, sort of in the Spirit, means that the Spirit is the source and sustaining power of your life. How do you get that power? How do you get connected to the Spirit? You do the things that bring you into contact with the Spirit. Right? You want to know more about your friend and his desires for you and your life. You go to somebody for advice. You have to engage with them in conversation and listening. How do we encounter the Spirit? Where and what Christian disciplines do we encounter the Spirit? Number one, spending time in the Word of God, reading. Number two, meditating on that Scripture. Right? Some time of quiet reflection. Number three, prayer. We are told that when we pray, we actually sort of join together with the Spirit, and the Spirit joins with us to pray together to God the Father. You want to know how to develop more self-control? You need more Scripture, meditation, and prayer in your life. You want to develop more peace in your life? Scripture, prayer, meditation. You have to engage with the Spirit. You want to know how to become more joyful? Scripture, prayer, meditation. Because all these things come from the Spirit.
If you want to experience these fruits of the Spirit, you have to be in tune with the Spirit. You got to be walking with the Spirit, living by the Spirit. That means doing what He's told you to do and doing it with His power and strength. How do you plug into that? Scripture, prayer, meditation, worship times. Right? Times of worship and singing. Don't many of you feel the presence of the Spirit? Don't you feel like you're walking in the Spirit, driving in the Spirit as you're listening to worship music? If we're going to try to become controlled by the Spirit, we got to spend more time with Him. We're going to spend more time engaged with the Spirit. Maybe the Spirit is that, you know, person of the Trinity who we sort of don't talk about as much because it's kind of weird, kind of, well, it's like breath, wind, spirity idea. Let's talk about God the Father. That one's easy. Sort of the in our minds, the lawgiver, the rule giver, the one who sins, sort of the one in authority, right? He sends the Son to the earth. We talk about Jesus all day long, right? On the cross for our sins, here teaching us, saying cool things. Then there's like the Spirit. I mean, if you want your life to be transformed, the Spirit's the most active agent there. The Spirit is the one dwelling inside of you once you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one dwelling inside of you to help lead and guide you, to be that moral compass within you and that conscience that says, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. No, you really shouldn't do that. Do something else now. But if you want to become in touch and in tune with the Spirit and develop these fruits, you got to spend time engaged with the Spirit. Scripture, meditation, prayer, worship. Walking is an interesting image for this. Because walking is never fast, right? I mean, let's take out that like speed walking thing, the people who just are completely ridiculous, right? And that's not really walking. But walking is never the fastest way to get there. Even to the ancient days, walking, still not the fastest way to get anywhere. Jog, run, get on an animal. You'll get there faster. You won't get so tired. The animal can go longer than you. Right? Walking in the Spirit is never this idea that it's happening fast, right? If you're expecting that you're going to start walking in the Spirit, and boom, self-control, perfection, doing good. Next, joy, boom, walking in the Spirit, and I'm the most joyful person around. The imagery of walking, the whole concept of walking is always slow going. But walking is also always a concept of progress, right? Walking, you're always progressing towards your goal, assuming you're headed in the right direction. Yeah, I get that. Right? Assume you're not walking in circles. But the idea of walking is, may not get there fast, but you're always progressing. You're always moving forward. So are you walking in the Spirit right now? Or have you just sort of sat down and given up? Are you moving forward in your life in prayer, Scripture, worship? Or have you quit walking? And you know the most underrated portion of all of this Spirit interaction? We think so much about how the Spirit is within us, and I have the Spirit inside of me. And you know what else that means? That the Spirit is within every believer around you too. In these areas of your life especially, right? You need more patience. You know what's a great help in patience? Other Spirit-led believers can come alongside you and be like, hey, you know what? That was a pretty impatient, dumb thing to do. Probably shouldn't do that more. Hey, you know what? You're not looking real joyful. Can I remind you of the fact that Christ died to save you? That our time on this earth, though it may be plagued by trials at times, will be short in comparison to the eternity we get to spend with Christ? Hey, I've seen you sort of bail on some friendships, and the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. You should be and ought to surround yourself with the fellowship of the church, with the body of believers, of other Christians who are filled with the Spirit as well. We think so much about the individualistic ways that I can work on it, and okay, now I need to walk in the Spirit. Part of walking in the Spirit is engaging with the people around you who are also filled with the Spirit. As you look about, okay, if I'm really going to achieve the fruit, say, of self-control, what do I need to do? More prayer, more meditation, more Scripture reading, more worship, and maybe more Spirit-filled believers in my life who know about my problems and can help me. When you get in and break down that barrier with a fellow believer and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and this is my struggle. And you know that they have the Spirit within them, right? It opens up all doors for for confession and encouragement. And why will they encourage you? Because they're such a great person? Nope. Because they have the Spirit of God within them. I mean, the message of the gospel is, I know that you're not okay, and you know that I'm not okay. Because that's what the Bible tells us. None of us are okay. And so why would we try to hide and put on false faces and pretend we've got everything together when everyone around you already knows that's not the case? So instead, break down those barriers and open up to the people around you and say, hey, I realize that if I'm going to develop some of these fruits, it's only come by the Spirit, and you got the Spirit within you. How can you help me, and how can I help you? This is what self-control is. It is this restraint of one's emotions and impulses and desires, and the problem with it really is self. So if you look back at a history of, you know, this has been a besetting sin in my life for 10, 15, 20 years, and I still struggle with it today. Let me ask you, are you just trying to work on that yourself? You really think that if you try harder, you can solve all your problems? Because man, that's the message we get around us. Right, if you just try hard enough, you'll succeed. Problem with self-control is within you. It is that sinful self. So the solution to self-control cannot be self. It can't be more self. It must be Spirit. And so then the question is, do you have the Spirit within you? Have you put your trust and faith in Christ? If so, then those fruits, they're going to start budding. They're going to start blooming. They're going to start blossoming. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And if you have put your trust in Christ, are you continually walking and being led by the Spirit? Or have you sort of sat down and been like, not making any progress here? I'm going to go ahead and give up and just allow this area of my life of lack of self-control or lack of joy or lack of faithfulness or lack of goodness to just run its course. Or are you standing up, getting on your feet, and walking? Making progress, and it may be slow progress, but making progress only by the Spirit, by doing what He says and by doing it with His power. But you got to get plugged into the Spirit. You want the fruit, you got to be plugged into the root. You got to walk in the Spirit, do it through Scripture, prayer, meditation, worship, and through engaging with those people around you who have the Spirit within them too. Let's pray. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, You are good. You are faithful. You are patient. You are kind. You are so good and so good to us that even while we were struggling with the sin in our lives, You sent Your Son to the earth to die on the cross for our sins, and that when the Son left, that You promised Your Holy Spirit to all who would believe. Give every one of us the humility that we need to accept Your Son's sacrifice on our behalf, to realize that we can't make it on our own. Give us the humility we need to realize that within us is a sinful nature and that the solution just can't be more self. Though in our pride we want it to be, we really want to fix our own problems. Let us see in humility that we need all of these good things from You. Holy Spirit within us, lead and guide us. Convict us, empower us, so that we might walk and live by You. It's in the Son's name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand, worship team. Come close us in a final song.